Last weekend in the United States, there was the gathering of what's called the No Kings Rally. It was held from coast to coast, north to south, thousands of communities across the country, some small gatherings of people, some huge in cities, large thousands, tens of thousands of people gathered together. What united all the people together was an idea of that America has no king. We got rid of that when we had the Revolutionary War. And we are never going to have a sovereign where there is somebody in the White House that just rules by fiat, that just gives by dictate, who just says, here's what we're going to do, and then forgets about what the entire rest of the government says. We said, no, that's not what we're going to do. These people were reaffirming that. Obviously, what has people up in arms and what has led to all of this was a perception among many that the president of the United States actually is behaving in that way. Now, obviously, to his supporters, they say that's ludicrous. It's absurd. Of course, there's nothing to it. But as you know, here at the Daniel Davis Deep Dive, we like to do a deep dive into it and look at this issues that are happening. And what are the fundamentals? What is actually happening on the ground? What are the actions being taken by the president? Do they line up or do they not? Now, like any administration, and I mean every administration, you can find policies to pick with. You can say, I don't like this. This is bad. Obama did a bunch of stuff that people said at the time was unconstitutional. George Bush did, et cetera. I'm not talking about that, not even going to get into those. I'm going to talk about the actual guardrails of government. And is there any substance to this charge of Trump is a creeping king, or at least he's trying to take the powers of it? I think when you look at what happens and what is going on so far and what's happened in the first 9 or 10 months of his administration, there is some concern. And it's no kidding. First of all, I want to take a look at in the aftermath of last weekend's rally. You had Speaker of the House Mike Johnson go on to ABC News and says, hey, you know what? This idea that there's a king, it's kind of silly.
The irony of the message is pretty clear for everyone. If President Trump was a king, the government would be open right now. If President Trump was a king, they would not have been able to engage in that free speech exercise out on the mall. I've never called anybody an enemy, but we call out
Hate America rally or, you know, Antifa, pro-Hamas. That sounds, those are enemies.
Well, there were a lot of hateful messages yesterday. I mean, we have video and photos of pretty violent rhetoric calling out the president, saying fascists must die and all the rest. I mean, I don't think that's loving speech. I don't think that's friendly speech. And I don't think it's pro-American to say those kinds of things.
Okay, so leaving aside for the moment his comment there that, you know, there was hate speech and that, you know, the people that said some bad things, there always are and there were in those too. But to characterize the movement in those ways is completely inaccurate, and it's just flat out intentionally wrong. And, you know, I've had no shortage of problems with Mike Johnson doing this throughout, especially in this government shutdown period. So just let me call that out right from the bat. He's intentionally and willfully mischaracterizing what happened in that rally to strip away the voice of those people, of the millions of Americans who are concerned about this. Instead of trying to alleviate those concerns, he's mocking them and undercutting them and saying they don't even count. And they're actually hateful people anyway. They're not loving. They're not kind. Ergo, all of those people are unkind. And then when you actually look at the video evidence, of course, that you see lots of people from all walks of the country, all corners of our country are united in almost the only thing of concern that the president of the United States is moving in a direction he's not supposed to. And then, of course, he starts off his little screed there by saying, well, obviously, with this condescending tone, which is also very infuriating and annoying to anyone to have to hear, but he's treating anyone who has those concerns as though they're little children. Well, obviously, if he was king, Michael continues on, then the government wouldn't be shut down now because we would just give an order to have it done and all these other kind of things. He would just give orders and they would be done. Here's the problem. We're creeping in that direction right now. There have been a number of things that were just done by fiat that were just done because, and you can tell when you look at this in the context of the whole, it's a creeping march. You don't go from being elected and sworn in to a dictator. Nobody can do that because then that would the whole country would reject that. All the people, there are at least significant portions of them. So you can't do that. The only way that you can get there when you have an entire 2 centuries plus of history is to get to a place you have to do it step by step. you know, the classic frog in the water situation, in the boiling water, where you just slowly turn up the temperature, and any one change isn't that strong. You don't really get to know it that much, but over time, all of a sudden, one day it's too late, and you've been boiled. I mean, that's where we're headed. That's where we're in the process to. Whether we're going to go all the way or not remains to be seen. I still have some hope that the people, enough people, are now paying attention. And I think this No Kings rally was a shot across the bow that says, we're not going to go like frogs this time. We have been in many other issues of late. But there's at least signals that we're not going to go that way here. And they're letting their voice be known. And there was one issue. The reason why I'm even making this video today is because I saw an interview by President Trump yesterday, which definitely got my alarm bells up. So while you have Mike Johnson sitting there telling you, yeah, don't worry, if he was a king, he would have dictatorial powers today. And since he doesn't, there's no threat. Well, let me just show you a bit of a video here. Now, you know, I'm always harping on every time we do anything on this channel, anytime we talk about the use of lethal military power. And if you've been watching me even before the 2 years we've been on the air here, or when I've been on whether it's Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, NBC News, whatever, wherever I've been on TV, I've always go back to, or when I was writing in the even decades before that, what does the U.S. Constitution say? The U.S. Constitution, in my mind, is both a protection and a guardrail. It's something to constrain, but also to give freedom, if used properly. But if misused, you can either use it the way it's designed, or you can discard it. There may not be two other ways. And so especially when it comes to the use of lethal military power, the Constitution is black and white. It is clear as can possibly be. In case it wasn't clear enough, in 1973, we came up with the War Powers Act to further clarify and quantify what is legal and what is not in terms of the use by the chief executive of lethal military power. And what it says is the Constitution that only Congress can declare war. Only Congress can take the country into military conflict. And because it's a little more complicated than it was the world in 1776 when we first declared independence, we said, hey, let's get the 1973 War Powers Act and let's quantify it even further. And it says there is only a certain number of things that the president can use unilaterally as the commander-in-chief to take the country into conflict. And those are: there has already been a declaration of war, there has been congressional authorization, or the United States has been attacked. That's it. There are no other courses. There are no other clauses. There's no other authorizations. Now, as you also know, because I've said this many times, we have so diluted that over so many administrations that there's kind of this tacit understanding, well, as long as it's a little war or just a small conflict, then people will kind of roll their eyes, but they won't do anything. And that's Republican, Democrat, either way. It doesn't make any difference. It's equally the same. And even when there's been bitter political opponents from one house to the other or from one party to the other, when it comes to this kind of thing, they generally just slap each other on the back and say, sure, go ahead. Mainly because they know when their guy's in office, they're going to expect the same treatment back. And they're going to calculate, well, these are small scale. It's not that big a deal. That's how, what has happened so far. So these guys together, House, Senate, and administration, have ruined what was our guardrails. So they are shredding those things, shredding the Constitution, and then shredding their own War Powers Act from 1973, because that's ancient history to them. And we don't want to be constrained by the law. We want to be able to do what we want to do, just mostly is around the edges. We don't want to get into a big war. We won't do that, probably. That's kind of what it is. And when you do that, you see, you get that little, I guess, because you leave wall for room. Every time you keep shredding those guardrails, you make it easier to get into military conflict later. And you make it easier for the next guy to carry it just a little bit further. And that's where we've been doing. So far in this administration, in less than a year, we have taken lethal military power against the Houthis in Yemen in the Red Sea area. We just said, we don't want, somebody's got the Red Sea, so we're going to go and kill them for it. And we're going to knock them out. As you know, of course, militarily, that was a fool's errand, and it turned out that way. They finally recognized it after not too long and wasting billions of dollars of ammunition and sending our troops down there to fight something that couldn't be succeeded, and they just stopped. So that was bad, too, the way it was done, because people are aware around the world that you can't even stop the Houthis, which was evident before. But the point being, the much more important point here is we just said, hey, forget it. I don't care. I want to, so I'm going to. Washington just yawned. They just shrugged their shoulders. Okay. Well, then it escalated a little bit more. And now then this summer, it was Iran, their nuclear program, their so-called nuclear weapons program. We just said, I'm tired of it. We weren't attacked. We weren't threatened. No one was trying. In fact, they were in the process of negotiations to try and get this issue solved when we went in there with military force. And then we joined with Israel for the so-called 12-day war. No congressional authorization, no War Powers Act, no authorization for use of military force, the AUMF, nothing. Nothing from Congress, not a peep from them afterwards. They're fine. Now, here we go into the Caribbean Sea and into the areas around Venezuela and into around Colombia. And now President Trump has been just blowing up boat after boat, killing people one after the other. And I'm telling you, there is no legal authorization to do that. The only thing you're authorized to do is to go onto the high seas, especially in the international waters. You can detain people that you suspect of something. We do it around Miami a lot. You may have seen that video clip I showed yesterday of Rand Paul talking about that very thing, that they interdict a lot of suspected drug boats. About 25% of them turn out to be nothing. They're not guilty of anything, so they get let go. He was talking about the practicality of the issue, but I'm talking about the morality and the legality of the issue. We don't know how much intelligence we have. We're told it's perfect. I don't believe that for a second. Our history shows for sure it's not. Rand Paul talked about how our physical experience around our own coast interdicting drug boats is about 75%, which is really good, but it's certainly not 100%. But now that you are killing people with the presumption of 100% certainty, that's on one point. That's not the only problem. The other problem is that you're also killing people extrajudiciously, because committing a drug crime and faring drugs is a crime and you can go to jail for it. It is not a summary execution situation. So that is also breaks both international law and American law. But does anyone seem to care about that? Does anyone seem to care that you're using military power and now you're building up 14% of the U.S. Navy fleet in the Caribbean area around Venezuela and Colombia? You're in a big spat now, both with Maduro and President Petro of Colombia. And then this is where we get to. This is what's prompted me to do this. Yesterday, there was an interview where President Trump was asked a little bit more about this issue, about going in and blowing up these drug boats, and they asked for the legal justification for it. Listen to this.
And Mr. President, if you are declaring war against these cartels and Congress is likely to approve of that process, why not just ask for a declaration of war?
Well, I don't think we're going to necessarily ask for a declaration of war. I think we're just going to kill people that are bringing drugs into our country.
Okay, so you heard it right there. Actually, let me think. It continues on.
Okay, we're going to kill them. You know, they're going to be like dead. Okay.
And that's it. That's the end of the show. That's the end of the discussion. So he says there, no, I'm not going to ask for a declaration of war. It doesn't matter to me what the Constitution says. Totally not even a constraint anymore. That, my friend, the guardrail is off. It's gone. It is not being degraded. It is not being deteriorated. It has vanished right there on broad daylight in front of God and the world with the cameras rolling. He says, the reporter says, why don't you declare war on the cartels? That's not his authority to do. Period. Full stop. Zero. Zero chance. None. The president of the United States does not have the power to declare war. Exclusively, Article 1 of the Constitution belongs to the U.S. Congress. But not unfazed by that, he continues on. And then the guy says, well, I mean, if that's going to be the case anyway, just go ahead and declare war. You've got the numbers. There's actually some political truth to that. They probably would get it, or they might get it. We'll see. I don't want to say probably would. They might get it. And therein is his problem. I don't want to find out. I don't want to put this into a vote, and it turns out that I don't get what I want, or they put some constraints on me, or they slow me down, so I'm not going to do that. So he just says, no, not going to do them. Just going to kill them. That is a violation of international law, It's a violation of American law to just openly declare, I'm just going to kill them. A lethal sentence because of suspected drugs in international waters. That should be a chilling bone, to chill the bone of everyone in America who listens. Listen, today it's right there. It's out in the Caribbean Sea. It's so-called drug runners. You can just, if you want, you can just convince yourself and comfort yourself by saying, somebody else. Well, they're guilty anyway. They're guilty anyway. The president told me they have perfect intelligence. When was the last time you believed that and it turned out to be true? Do I need to go to the 2003 war, the George Bush's weapons of mass destruction, et cetera? And there's a whole laundry list of other ones like that. Believe me, I fought in 4 combat deployments, and I saw, especially the longer my career went into, when I got into Iraq and Afghanistan, I saw a lot of claims of intelligence that were not true, that I knew for a fact were not true. So whether at the high level, medium level, or low level, this stuff happens all the place. So to just give blanket 100% belief and trust that everything you're being told is true is naive and dangerous. Because when you start giving him more of that power, just like that frog in the water, that temperature is going to get ratcheted up. And unlike what Mike Johnson said, he may not be today, but you see how he's advanced just from January until now in late October. Now he doesn't bat an eye about saying, I'm just going to kill these people. Folks, listen to me. When did that become synonymous with America? To just be talking carelessly and recklessly about, I'm just going to go kill them. I don't care. They're bad guys. I've declared them to be so. I've declared them all to be guilty. He is literally the judge, jury, and executioner. Is that the America you want to live in? Because today it's easy. You can clap and you can say, yeah, it's the bad guys over there. But I'm telling you, listen to me. I'm telling you, a day may come when it's not them over there. It's us here. A day may come when these No Kings rallies don't just get snide comments from the Speaker of the House of Representatives, but might get more forceful action. Not if you're not a country, you don't belong to our country. Not that you don't aren't a green card holder even, or an actual citizen. Not that you're not in any of those legal categories, but you're just on the wrong side of the argument. You think, oh, it can't go there. It can go there. It has in history before, and there is a progression from where we started to where we are now. Hear me. There is a progression. You just saw it on your screen. This is not status quo. This has never happened before, and it's not even happened in this administration. They kind of danced around the edges of it, but now they're publicizing it. This is a dangerous moment, my friend. And the longer we go with passive resistance, or not even passive resistance, just passivity, not taking into any actions, not making our voice heard by following the freedoms of speech that we have, and the lawful means of assembling together, et cetera, like these guys did then, and there's No Kings rally. Don't let that be the end. Don't stop what you're doing there, because there may come a day, my friend, when we don't have the freedom to assemble. We don't have freedom of speech. And some of us may find ourselves locked up because we're saying something that is not preferable to the sovereign. I hope we don't get there. I hope this just turns out to be a hyperbole and over the top. I pray that it's so. I fear it's not. We got to keep a close eye on this one, folks. Don't let this sneak up on you. Talk to you soon.